The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. A very happy holidays to you. And what better way to spend it in the company of Craig Burley. And if that wasn't enough, Mark Ogden with us as well to bring a smile to our face. And Donna Hutchison as well. Of course, in England, this is a busy old time. Some big matches on Boxing Day. No bigger than Arsenal taking on Chelsea. Arsenal, of course, currently sitting 15th in the table after a terrible run. And it started off with a joke, but it's snowballing now to a real conversation as to whether or not they are actual relegation contenders. This is what Sam Allardyce had to say. Absolutely. They'll be wondering what has hit them. They'll be wondering why they are down there. They'll be wondering what it takes to get out of that position. I know what it takes. I hope to convince my players to respond to that. Arsenal, of course, taking on West Brom in this crucial run of fixtures, you feel for Arteta. It's crazy how this is, we've got to this point, Craig.
Yeah, we finished the season eventually with what looked like a bunch of players who were taking on board what he was trying to do. There was impressive runs in the FA Cup all the way to winning it. And for whatever reason, things have just completely done a 360. You know, not only is he searching for the shape and personnel in the team to get results, it looks like the players don't want to run through, you know, the proverbial brick wall for him. We had the bizarre incident early in the week with the stats.
Yeah.
Press conference, which was incredibly bizarre, and he must have known. And if he didn't know, then he's not as bright as some people keep telling us. Oh, he's a smart guy. Smart people don't come out and reel out ridiculous stats like that to the public, to the media, because you know what the result is going to be. So we have that, we have bad performances, we have personnel issues, we have injuries, and we have a side that don't look like they're going to get results. Now, there's a lot of people, there are some people out there that think, well, this is a long-term project, you know, and he was brought in for the long term. He's got no CV, he's got no resume in management, apart from that cup final win. Wigan won the cup final, Portsmouth won the cup final. The bottom line is, they're in a relegation dogfight at the moment, and there is a few managers out there looming large above them. And if it continues in this vein, it's not going to be long until he's packing his suitcase.
Chelsea, Brighton, West Brom, Mark. If we see him not win any of those, is it as simple as saying he's gone?
Well, it's just over a week ago that Ada, the technical director, was telling people that Arteta's doing a great job and there's a big future at Arsenal. And, you know, that's in a kind of a fairly convincing vote of confidence. But since then, they've lost two games. You know, Everton was a bad defeat. City, they got hammered. And then, as Craig said, his press conference on Monday was the press conference of a man who's really under pressure. It was just bizarre talking about stats which nobody could quite understand. And, you know, when you start turning to stats to justify yourself, then you're on a slippery slope. But it was the press conference of a man under big pressure. Now, you know, the game's coming up. Chelsea at home, always a tough game for Arsenal. I do think that, in a sense, this is a free hit, this one, you know, unless you get hammered. But I do think Brighton away and West Brom away, they're the two games for me that look really dangerous games, because if they don't beat Chelsea, if they lose to Chelsea, they have to get something at Brighton and they have to get something at West Brom if they get as far as that. If they lose at Brighton, I think that could be it, because he's saying strange things, his team are doing strange things, he's falling out with, you know, he's not picked Mesut Ozil, he's not convinced by Lacazette, Aubameyang's not fit. Nothing really stacks up. Shaka's not, you know, he's back in contention, but he doesn't seem to have a great relationship with Shaka. So nothing at Arsenal seems positive right now. And eventually the owners and the technical director and the people in charge will think this isn't working. And as Craig said, you know, Thomas Tuchel's been sacked at PSG this week. So he's a big name manager that's looking for a job.
Don, how things have changed. Craig mentioned the fact that obviously they won the FA Cup. There was genuine excitement. Aubameyang signs a new contract. People talking about, you know, Arsenal, you know, this is a great thing they're building. Maybe they could be top four contenders. But that has just collapsed so drastically. Mm. Why?
It's incredible. I mean, me and Stuart Robson stood outside Wembley and the fans were ecstatic when they were winning the FA Cup and the Community Shield. And you know, Aubameyang was going to sign a new contract. And honestly, I felt for the fans. I felt as though I was riding something with them because I could physically see what was happening. It was visible. You know, he was playing three centre-halves. He had two wing-backs. He had two holding midfield players. The style of play at the time was to counteract in the big sides with all their possession and play counter-attacking football. And they looked great. And you could see the plan. And then for whatever reason, the wheels have just absolutely come off. I don't see any fight in this side whatsoever. There's players that don't look happy. They're going through the motions at the minute. And listen, I've been in a relegation battle and you need to fight and you need to graft and you need to work extremely hard and show to the public that you are grafting for your manager. I don't really see that. The problem I think Arsenal have got is look what's happened to Unai Emery since he's moved on. You know, he's absolutely flying. So do they get rid of a bright young manager who, yes, is inexperienced and yes, he's cutting his teeth and yes, he's not been in this situation before. But if he rides it and he carries on and he gets through the next couple of months and somehow some sort of positivity arrives towards the latter part of the season, he might be a better manager for it next season. But it's a massive gamble because the next three games are huge for him.
They are. We asked Mark to give us the probable 11. Aubameyang, obviously a doubt going into the game against Chelsea, Craig. You look at this and you think, where are the grafters? Where are the ones that are really going to lift this team and drag them out of this funk? And it's difficult to see anyone really there.
Well, I would say people that are showing that they're prepared to graft would be Maitland-Niles, would be Kieran Tierney, who I think has been pretty good for them on several positions after an injury head start, and young Saka. Youngsters, you know, and new signings like Tierney. Willian's been poor. Not a huge fan of Ceballos. Elneny's a bit of an afterthought for them because they have so many disciplinary problems. You look at that squad and you just think, this is Arsenal. This is it. This is what they've got. I mean,
so then how much do you then give Arteta a pass as a result of that?
No, he's not getting a pass. You're not getting passes now at this level of elite football because it's just too big a business. And it was him that wanted to. It was him that went out on a limb to convince Aubameyang to stay and sign. He did. He's been poor. It was him that went out and wanted to get Willian, I believe, unless it was Edu and others. But, you know, I have to believe that Arteta has a big say in that, to go and get Willian from Chelsea and others. So, no. Listen, I've said it before. Brendan Rodgers is looming large. We can talk about Thomas Tuchel all we want. I'm not a huge Tuchel fan. Brendan Rodgers is sitting at Leicester City. Leicester City is a holding ship for him, no matter what he says. And Leicester fans might be upset. I don't care. They're a very, very good club, but they're not one of the real big boys. And I think that's what Rodgers is waiting for. He's seen Liverpool. He's seen Celtic. He's very comfortable at Leicester at the moment. They have a really good squad, nice training ground, nice club, family atmosphere. Get well looked after, get enough results to keep the pressure off and keep his nose in there for when somebody loses their job. And I would not be surprised within the next, it could be 3 weeks, but 3 months, 6 months, if Brendan Rodgers is not the Arsenal manager.
Mark, is that a possibility?
Yeah, and for all the reason that Craig says, I think Brendan went to Leicester looking to re-establish himself in the Premier League after his job at Liverpool, which I do think, looking back, you know, he's been unfairly kind of maligned after Liverpool. He came within an inch of getting the title for Liverpool, and he's almost like mocked. Then he was sacked about 18 months later because of the way they played football. But he went to Celtic, was a success. Leicester's been a big success, and he would make sense for Arsenal. The only thing I would say to that is that Arsenal right now are a club that tends to look outside the UK for players, for appointments. Whether it's because the technical director is Brazilian and you know, the owners are American, they don't seem to have that focus on what's happening right in front of them. I think Brendan Rodgers would be a brilliant appointment for Arsenal. I think Arteta deserves a bit more time. I do think that he inherited a bad squad from Unai Emery, who inherited an imbalanced squad from Arsene Wenger. The problem that Arteta's got is that he built that team when he came in to start defending and to basically rely on Aubameyang to get him out of a hole. And that happened for about 6 months. As soon as Aubameyang stopped scoring, everything fell apart. You know, they beat Liverpool in the Community Shield. I saw them win at Old Trafford. And that was only in November. I thought, Arsenal have cracked it here, and then Aubameyang just hasn't done anything, and the game plan's fallen to bits. And now Aubameyang's injured, Lacazette isn't scoring, and Arteta doesn't have a plan B. So if I was him, I would be very worried about Brendan Rodgers because he's done a great job at Leicester.
West Brom's the third of the three games, isn't it?
Yes.
So I'm going to say if he loses against Chelsea and loses against Brighton, he's gone.
Right.
Don't forget, Brighton was where it kind of started to unravel a little bit. That was, I'm trying to think, that was last season. with the Guendouzi incident.
Yes.
Yeah, and he seemed to have handled that pretty well, and the players respected him for that. But that was the first sign of the sort of ill discipline. And listen, if any Leicester fans or anybody else want to say to me, oh, Brendan won't leave, Brendan won't do this, Brendan left Celtic. Right, no, I don't blame him for leaving Celtic, but you as Celtic fans, he had all the success in the world up there. They were going for a treble, and he thought he was, and he wanted to go back to England, as Mark said, to re-establish himself.
Right.
Back in the Premier League for moments like this, when managers are struggling at big clubs, and I think Stevie said it, or somebody said it the other day on this show, to go in and potentially get an Arsenal job when they're 15th or 16th in the league, there's pretty much only one way you can go from there. Because if you go in at that point and take them even further down, then your managerial career is absolutely in tatters. So the next two games are absolutely pivotal for Mikel Arteta. Otherwise, he's gone. And how stupid are Arsenal going to look as well? Because they've the ones that said, long-term. So they're in a real quandary here, is that they've got a manager at the moment who cannot get results, and we now have a club hierarchy making decisions that are seemingly long-term, which might have to be short-term.
Meanwhile, you focus on the opponents in this game, Don. Frank Lampard, of course, nowhere near the hot seat. We've seen flashes of brilliance from Chelsea this season, but you get a feeling that he's still trying to work out the best way to build this puzzle.
Yeah, and I think the pressure's all on Chelsea in this one. I really do. I think it's what Chelsea turns up. If they fly in and they click, you'd imagine they'll destroy Arsenal, but the pressure's on them. And I think Frank, you know, when he analyses what he's got in the dressing room, he's got a brilliant set of players, an unbelievable squad. But there has been little problems that he's had to deal with. You know, people like Havertz having COVID. Timo Werner out of form, looks a little bit tired at this point in his normal season. He'd be resting in the Bundesliga. He's got to go through that. He's got to carry on. He's got to start scoring goals. He's got to start putting in performances. Hakim Ziyech has been missing as well. So there's loads of little things that he's had to deal with. I don't think probably once or twice this season he's probably put his best 11 on the pitch. So I think once he gets that, I think you'll see Chelsea be consistent again.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real sympathy here because you look at the squad and everybody's got injuries. I mean, look at Liverpool. Mm-hmm. I mean, as much as Klopp moans, the injury list is as long as your arm, and it's key players. Van Dijk, Thiago, the list goes on. But you look at the team when everybody was fit, you look at that second 11, and it was a second 11 that Lampard put out in Spain at Sevilla, and they won, was it 5-0? I think it was 5. That's telling you that it's just down to him to get the balance right.
Right.
And so he is under pressure. I mean, he's not going to turn around to his owner and say, well, you know, he's not used to playing in the Christmas period. Do you think Roman Abramovich knows about that? He's, I don't give a stuff what he's used to. I'm paying him. Get him out there. Make sure he's scoring goals. And so they are absolutely good enough. But if I was Lampard, I'd be saying to Timo Werner, listen, here's a perfect opportunity for you. This team can't defend. This team are wide open at times. This team will let you run in behind. Mm. This is an ideal chance for you to build your confidence here because they're going to give you chances.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest issues for Chelsea here is the fullbacks. I mean, there's no Reece James and there's no Chilwell. And, you know, Azpilicueta's been a solid citizen for them for many, many years. But those two players give them so much more going forward. So that's one of the issues I would have with this team.
That, of course, one of the standout ties that we see on Boxing Day in England. Another one, Manchester United against Leicester. We'll be talking about that a little later on in the show.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It wouldn't be a festive period without a team of the year. Mark Ogden given the task to pick it. There it is in all its glory. Allison, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Van Dijk, Vestergaard, Robertson, Henderson, Bruno Fernandes, De Bruyne, Salah, Vardy, Heung-min Son. Xhaka's here. Xhaka, you love a team of the year. What's wrong with that one?
Not an awful lot, I'll be honest with you. You understand Liverpool dominance. But as good as Heung-min Son has been, I would have another Liverpool player in there. I'm not sure how you have a team of the year and not include Sadio Mane. Listen, I understand you want to seem a little bit balanced, somewhat impartial, but you cannot leave out Sadio Mane.
Xhaka, I'm a bit concerned here. Have you ironed that shirt?
Yeah, I was about to say, it looks like you slept in that shirt.
Have you slept in the shirt? Two, has it seen a washing machine? And if it did you iron it with a brick? I mean, make an effort, man. It's the holidays.
What if I just put it like that?
Yeah,
that's, no, it's all right.
Yeah, no, you can't notice it.
Do you know what I noticed about you, Shaq, on these shows?
Look at the state of it.
I mean, I know, but God, he's ironed it with the leg of a chair. At least, I mean, make an effort, man. You must have some jackets in your cupboard. If not, somebody must have bought you one for Christmas.
It is so, I'll get that tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Come on, tomorrow. Why no Mane, Mark?
Well, I was asked to do a team of 2020, so although Mane had a great end to last season with Liverpool, I think he started the season a little bit slowly this time. I think Son, you know, look at Son. He's top of the scoring charts with Calvert-Lewin. I think he's flying this year. He had a great end to last season as well. He's just a fantastic player, and I think he's, you know, he's often been in the shade at Tottenham, you know, of Harry Kane. And I think Son's really emerged. I think they're a real front two, the pair of them. And I think Son, for me, he just shades it over Sadio Mane. And like I said, it can't all be Liverpool players, despite the fact they had a great season winning the league.
Dom, what's your problem with the team?
Well, I don't know why Fabinho's not in for a start at centre-half over Yannick Vestergaard.
Liverpool TV, yeah. Happy holidays!
I don't know why Harry Kane's not in. What's Harry Kane done?
Yeah, Vardy over Harry Kane, not being Mark, what's going on?
Well, I mean, you can't... Listen, you could have picked six forwards easily. I mean, I couldn't leave Mohamed Salah out, because Salah, you know, sometimes he dips in and out of games, but he's been fantastic. Jamie Vardy's just been... He's had an amazing 2020. Harry Kane's had a great 2020, but I think Vardy's had a better one. And I think, you know, you talk about Vestergaard, I think, you know, people always look at the big six. Vestergaard, for me, has been a massive part in Southampton's great start to the season and their kind of revival last year after that 9-0 hammering by Leicester. So I think you have to look below the big six at times. And, you know, Fabinho, yeah, he's done brilliantly at centre-half, but he dips in there maybe five or six times a year. So, you know, it's an impossible task. And I know you guys hate these teams of the year, and it's a difficult challenge as well. But, you know, you've got to be fair. You've got to look around the league and make sure that you're not just picking the team that wins the league. So, but yeah, Harry Kane's had a great year. But Jamie Vardy, you know, considering the guy's in his early to mid-30s, he's still scoring goals in the Premier League, still destroying defences. Vardy every time.
I thought I had to clean my ears out there.
Right.
I mean, it's like... that year. And that year.
Nice.
And, you know, luckily we didn't have to do the... And I missed out in ESPN's top 100 players this year as well.
Oh, wow.
Didn't get asked to do it.
Right.
It's not been that bad after all.
Right.
I thought I heard Don say that. Don wants... He's now the Stevie with the Van Dijk. Don wants a guy who's not a centre-half to play in the team of the year at centre-half because it's Liverpool.
Yeah. No. He's amazing, Craig. He's had an amazing year.
What?
Put him in your 11.
Max just explained to you. He's only dipped in and out in that position. You know, Van Dijk and Vestergaard, that's their natural position.
All right, well, let's go back to Harry Kane and Jamie Vardy debate.
What?
So at the moment, Harry Kane... No, I'll give you that.
Don wants Fabinho.
No. I'll give Mark that and I'll give you that, Craig. I don't mind backing down on a debate. But Harry Kane is only two goals behind Jamie Vardy. In the assists column, Jamie Vardy 4, Harry Kane 10. 10!
Actually, Eric Dyer's played this. Eric Dyer.
But look at the players that, you know, Harry Kane's got around him at Tottenham. He's got a team of attacking talent. Jamie Vardy carries Leicester on his own. And, you know, where would Leicester be without Jamie Vardy? They wouldn't be in the second
Mark,
of the Premier League.
Mark, you should have just picked a Liverpool. You should have put Firmino 9, Fabinho 10. You should have just picked Liverpool's 11. You'd have got away with that.
Oh, dear. For a lot more content from Liverpool TV, be sure to check out our YouTube channel. You can subscribe, of course, for all our latest videos. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. What a game it is to start off Saturday. Leicester City against Manchester United, second versus third. Mark, you've been one of the harshest critics of United over the last couple of years. You got it wrong. They're going to win the league now.
Yeah, maybe not. I think they're going to challenge for certainly for second or third. If they win the game in hand and they can and win at Anfield next month, they can go on top of the table. But I think, let's be honest, they're not in Liverpool's league yet. But you know, they might be the best the rest of this season, which is an amazing turnaround considering that they were beaten 6-1 at home by Tottenham earlier this season. They've been so up and down. I mean, they veer from the sublime to the ridiculous United. But I was at Everton on Wednesday, and they were outstanding. I thought Cavani was fantastic. I thought Bruno Fernandes was fantastic. They look a really good team. The one thing I'd say is that, you know, when the chips are down, I still think there are players in that squad that Solskjaer can't trust. He can't trust when it matters. I don't think he can trust Paul Pogba. I don't think he can trust David De Gea anymore. If you ask Jurgen Klopp, he can trust all his players. And I think ultimately, what will let United down is the fact that there are two or three players in that team that when it really matters, Solskjaer can't trust them. But listen, they're a much better team than they were when he came in 2 years ago. So he deserves a lot of credit for that because there's been times when it looked like he was, you know, one game from losing his job and he always turned it around. So if they got a Leicester win, that means they go to Anfield next month, having not lost away from home since they went to Anfield in January this year. So it's an amazing turnaround.
Let's get some quick predictions then, starting off with Xhaka in his crease shirt. Xhaka, what are you going for in this one?
I'm going for a Manchester United win. I just feel Leicester have not been great at home, and we all know about United's away form. I think they got it done.
Don?
I think Leicester. I do. It goes against the form guide. Leicester, not great at home. And as Xhaka said, Man U away from home, absolutely flying. But I just think Leicester have got too many weapons up front, too many quick ones, and people like Jamie Vardy. I think Albrighton's in the form of his life. I think at the moment he's on fire as well. People like Tielemans. And I think they hurt Man United. I think it'll be close, but I'm going 2-1 Leicester.
Oh.
The head-to-head is favouring Man United. You know, wins for Leicester in the last five. Played ever so well at Tottenham last week, but United are in good form. Leicester would worry me with some of the games they've lost at home, you know, at West Ham, Fulham, to name some. So they've been really up and down. I'm going to go for a draw here.
Right.
Because I think the two teams are in form. Maddison was fantastic against Tottenham, and Fernandes, all the guys that the boys mentioned there for United, have been in great form. I don't trust either of these two sides to put a real big run together, and they've shown they'll drop points, so I'm going to go for a draw.
Should be a good game, shouldn't it? Just a reminder, we are with you throughout the festive period. If you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast. Plenty of bonus material there as well.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What a festive treat, Shaka's latest power rankings. Craig, I feel like you're not normally involved in the power rankings.
Well, I had a bit of time in my hands today, Daniel, so I had a look.
Did I?
What I don't understand is Bayern Munich are actually in better form than Liverpool.
Right, OK.
So how are Liverpool above Bayern Munich? AC Milan are above Inter Milan in the league.
Yes.
Inter Milan also went out of all European competitions.
Yeah.
And if it's just on form, Shaka, Rangers probably have the more points per game than any team in Europe at the moment.
A lot of questions to answer there, Shaq.
Where do you want me to start? Liverpool were above Bayern Munich last week because Bayern drew the week before and then Liverpool won 7. Okay.
Liverpool drew at Fulham.
Yeah, and Bayern drew last week as well, and Liverpool were above Bayern. They beat Leverkusen, Bayern Munich, fine, so they
Liverpool,
they stay where
Liverpool
they are,
one Liverpool win and three draws.
I can't punish Liverpool for winning.
Liverpool
seven.
One win and three draws in the last 8. Bayern Munich.
Where are you looking? Why are you looking to the sky?
I don't know. So, I don't know. How are Inter Milan above AC Milan?
Oh, dear.
Because they're in better form in the league. They've won,
right, but,
what, 5
on.
In a row.
Rangers
AC Milan drew 2 back-to-back just a couple of weeks ago.
The only game Rangers have lost this season has been in the League Cup, I believe, or recently in the League Cup against St Mirren. So if it's just form, why are Rangers not at the top? Are you discriminating against Scottish football?
Wait, before we go, we're running out of time. Don, we need your input quickly.
Liverpool!
Liverpool have been at the top, and it's a perfect power ranking, Shaq. Amazing job.
Oh, my God.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Don.
I mean, he's got Sporting... who is it?
Sporting Portugal.
Sporting in there.
Yeah.
He's got Leon in there, and he's just discriminating against Scottish football.
Oh, no, which you're obviously a big supporter of.
Rangers are fifth!
God, he's shouting. What's dodgier, his power rankings or his ironing? That is it. Thank you very much, guys. Happy holidays to you all. Until tomorrow. Goodbye.